I guess, talk first about Paul Ryan, budget chairman, came out with the Republican budget proposal. I'd like to get your overview of that.
Well, it's it makes another stab at a transformational budget similar to what we passed last year. This year we were able to get quite a bit more detail in terms of proposing comprehensive tax reform, which includes only two rates on individuals, a 10% rate and a 25% rate, and then taking out the loopholes and all of the other tax attributes that mess up economic behavior. More importantly, on the corporate side, strip out a lot of subsidies and loopholes and deductions and have one 25% tax rate that's based on a company's U.S. earnings, not its worldwide earnings, which this should make us considerably more competitive in the international marketplace than where we are today. A lot of people don't realize it, but on April the 1st, Japan's lowering its top corporate tax rate. And when they're done, we will be left with the highest tax rate and corporate tax rate in the world, which makes us the least competitive place to do business in the world. So this budget aims to try to change that and to make us much more competitive on the international front. We also include reform for welfare to expand upon the reforms that were passed in the late 90s under bipartisan cooperation between Bill Clinton as president and the Republican Congress at the time. We also, let me continue on that for a minute. Some of those reforms were dialed back over the past couple of years under the Obama administration. We look to take and reinstate those reforms and then to make them broader than what they are today. We also tweaked our Medicare reforms that we put in place last year to give future retirees the choice between a fee-for-service model like you have available today, or they can go with a plan similar to what we have in Congress. So those are the primary things. We also reduce discretionary spending or continue to reduce discretionary spending to levels that are about $5.3 trillion below what the president proposed in his budget that he rolled out last month. And then one of the things that the president's budget proposed was a huge cut in the defense budget, which leaves us vulnerable from a security perspective. And what we did is we were able to restore some of those cuts and rebalance those dollars with cuts that were made in other discretionary and mandatory spending programs. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it totally transforms the shape and size of the federal government as we move forward.
Now, the Democrats have not put a program out yet. I kind of wonder, what's the timing here? Why is it that the Republicans want to roll this out? And obviously it's going to be picked at by the Democrats before they bring their plan out. Why did the Republican leadership announce this yesterday?
Well, the law says that the Congress shall pass a budget before April 1st of each year. And when you look at our calendar, the only way that we could do that was to announce the budget yesterday, to take it through the budget committee process today, which will start at 10:30 this morning. We'll wrap up about midnight tonight. And then to have it in a position where we could have it filed by midnight on Friday and vote on it next week. That was the only way we could make it work and comply with the law. Now, it's interesting that we're going through this process because our friends on the north side of the campus over in the Senate, they're not going to do anything. They haven't passed a budget in over 1,050 days. And Harry Reid has said they have no intention of passing a budget at all this year as well.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. The president's going to be in Cushing, Oklahoma, a little town between Tulsa and Oklahoma City, tomorrow to talk about how he's going to fast-track at least the southern portion of a pipeline that'll end up in Port Arthur. Sounds to me like he's trying to position himself, certainly, that he is a pro-energy president.
Well, he's trying to do that. He's starting to grasp at straws. Secretary Chu testified yesterday in front of Darrell Issa's committee, and Secretary Chu gave himself an A or an A-minus on the energy program that he has promulgated on the United States. And I think most people, most Americans, would disagree with that. You know, you and I had this discussion earlier that it's my view that between now and the election, in light of high gasoline prices, President Obama will reverse his position on Keystone XL and will approve it. What's interesting is he plays very little, let me rephrase that. The federal government plays very little role in the approval of the pipeline insofar as it stays within the lower 48 states. And so he can get up there and take credit for trying to fast-track the southern leg of this pipeline all he wants to, but it's really just not true. What we need is we need to have the northern part approved where it crosses the border from Canada, because that's where the crude oil supply comes from that could help us with our gasoline prices. He still has that part held up.
Well, and the other thing is that the permitting is just the first step. We have a long way to go before any spades of dirt get turned on a project.
Well, actually, this could be built fairly quickly. That's what's interesting is the president's got his definition of shovel-ready, which we learned in the stimulus plan is really not shovel-ready unless you're wasting it on projects like Solyndra. With respect to the Keystone Pipeline, it truly is shovel-ready. The pipe has been manufactured. The contractors are ready to start moving dirt. And it could be built fairly quickly. We have history to prove this. There is another pipeline that uses oil from the oil sands in Alberta, Canada, and brings them, which is the same oil we're going to use for Keystone, and brings them into the United States. That was approved by the State Department in 2009, and it was built within a few months. So it's called the Clipper Pipeline.
Just to shift gears for a minute and to close for today, we have not spoken to you since the tragic incident in Afghanistan where an American soldier killed Afghanis. We found out that he suffered a brain trauma, not combat-associated, but it does bring to the forefront the idea of veterans, the damages seen and unseen that they come back from the battle lines with. This is a situation that has gotten worse and worse and worse, it seems. And while you're not necessarily in a committee position as your predecessor was to do something about this, I would like to get your thoughts on veterans and what we do owe them.
Well, whenever you have traumatic brain injury, TBI as it's known, we don't know exactly how that affects each individual. But I will tell you this, we're spending more money and more resources to learn about TBI and to come up with solutions to help treat people that have suffered TBI than we ever have before. So the issues that we have today are not because of a lack of money or resources or commitment. Bob Gates started this effort when he was Secretary of the Defense. It was funded by Congress with no problems. We continue to do that today. We are spending more money. As you're aware, I'm a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee.
Right.
The VA is spending more money today on TBI than it's ever spent before. I don't know that we'll ever have a solution to it because each person's brain is a little bit different, and TBI affects each person a little differently. But we are trying as hard as we can to address this issue. One of the real issues with TBI is that you don't know how and when it's going to manifest itself. So, for instance, with this young man that's been accused of these murders in Afghanistan, I don't think anybody saw it coming. And that's one of the challenges we face with respect to TBI.
Absolutely. Bill Flores joins us when Congress is in session on Wednesdays. You can hear our entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great to talk to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for to break the drought in the rest of the state, as well as for our country and our military men and women that protect it.
All right. Thank you, sir.